Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today for the teaching of the Word of God. You know, we believe that the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means, and that's how we teach it. And I'm so glad that you're enjoying hearing the Word of God straight up, undiluted, the way God intended. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your financial help so we can stay on the air. And just before we get to the Word of God, let me invite you to join me for my 59th tour of the Holy Land in February 2024. Our October 2023 trip is full, but you can still get on the February tour, and you can find all the information at LonSolomonMinistries.com. And now, let's get to the Bible. You know, I want to begin this morning with a quote that was made about America. Here we go, and I quote, "This is a religious people. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, we find everywhere a clear recognition of this truth, that this is a Christian nation." End of quote. Now you say, wow, what an amazing quote. Who said this? I mean, was it some great preacher like Billy Graham? Well, no. Was it some great Christian politician like Ronald Reagan? No. Well, was it some Christian radio personality like Jim Dobson? No. Actually, this was said by the United States Supreme Court in 1892 in the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. Now, is this right? Is America a Christian nation? Well, that's what we want to talk about today. And then we want to answer the most important question, of course, and that is, so what? So let's repeat our question. Is America a Christian nation? Well, the answer is no. And the reason the answer is no, my friends, is because nations can't be Christians. Only people can be Christians. A Christian is a person who is trusting not their own human performance, not their own human works, not their own religious activity, but a person who is trusting what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross as their only hope of eternal life and their only hope of getting into heaven. Nations can't do this, only people can. And if you're here today, I hope you've done this. Friends, nothing I'm going to say today about America is going to make one bit of difference when you land in eternity after this life. But what you do with Jesus Christ in this world is going to make all the difference what happens to you in eternity. And so I'm here since you are a person. You can do this. You can become a Christian. I'm here to challenge you and to plead with you on behalf of Almighty God. Make sure you've made the right choice. Make sure that you are depending on what Christ did for you on the cross, plus nothing, as your only hope for eternal life and for heaven. So, America is not a Christian nation. But what the Supreme Court was trying to say is that America was not born in a spiritual vacuum. What the Supreme Court was trying to say is that America, the soul of America, was shaped by Christian architects and by Christian principles, and the Supreme Court was 100% right. Patrick Henry said, and I quote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." End of quote. Folks, you take away Marx and Lenin, and the former Soviet Union makes no sense. You take away Mao Zedong and communist China makes no sense. You take away Gandhi and modern India makes no sense. Friends, you take away the Bible and God and Jesus Christ and the Christian faith, and America makes no sense. This is what the Supreme Court was trying to say in 1892. Now, that's wonderful that we had such a great spiritual beginning, but how about the state of America today? Huh? How we doing?
Well, in a recent poll, in fact, it was just published in USA Today this past week by the Pew Forum on Religious and Public Life, here's some of what they found. They found that 94% of Americans say they believe in God. 58% of Americans say that they pray at least once a day. 74% of Americans say that they believe there is a heaven. This goes with a recent Gallup poll that found that 88% of Americans believe God loves them. 84% of Americans believe Jesus is the Son of God. 66% of Americans say that they have made a commitment to Christ. And over 80% of Americans believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They say, I don't know where these people all live because they don't all live in my neighborhood. Where do all these people live? Well, I think they live in the Midwest. I mean, that's what only I can figure out here. But the point is that these surveys went on to find just what you're trying to express in saying that. The surveys went on to find, listen, 50% of Americans say, and I quote, homosexuality is a way of life that should be accepted by society. Only 33% of Americans, according to these polls, believe that premarital sex is wrong. Only 17% of Americans believe that abortion should be illegal. Divorce in America has risen over 700%, the rate of divorce, since the beginning of the 20th century. And these surveys found that support for prayer in public schools is at its lowest ebb since 1963, when prayer was outlawed in the public school system. The Gallup poll, trying to bring some definition to all of these numbers, said this, and I quote, Gallup said there is a gap, a G-A-P, a gap between, on the one hand, Americans' expressed religious belief, and on the other hand, the kind of society that they shape. In other words, says Gallup, while religion is popular in America, it is to a large extent, superficial. End of quote. Hey, let's put it another way. Let's say the vast majority of us as Americans, we are spiritual schizophrenics. Understand what I'm saying? On Sunday, we walk into church, we revere the Bible, we pray, we say we believe in God, and we believe in heaven on Sunday. And then all of that seems to make very little difference when it comes to the way we live our lives and the kind of society that we shape Monday through Saturday. This is why, my friends, that politicians can walk into church on Sunday with their Bible under their arm, and those very same politicians go out and support abortion Monday to Saturday. This is the present spiritual condition of America. We are spiritually schizophrenic in this country. Now, that's as far as I want to go with that, because I want to stop now and I want us to ask our most important question. And this is the last time we get to do this before I go on summer break. So can we make this worth it? Can we do this? All right, come on now. Let's make it really good. Ready? One, two, three.
So what?
Oh, how sweet it is, huh? That's great. Thank you. You say, Lon, so what? Say, all right, you read us all these numbers. You read us all these figures. You took us back like to high school with the pilgrims and all. What difference does any of this make to us, huh? Well, it makes a lot of difference, my friends. What all of this means that we've talked about today is that we as Americans who understand the lordship of Jesus Christ over all of life, who understand the lordship of Jesus Christ over all of human society, it means we have a big job to do in America. It means that our big job in America is that we need to keep calling America back to the very core values for human society upon which this nation was originally founded. Core values that come right out of the eternal Word of God. Core values that made America the great nation that she is today. And there are many of these core values, but I've chosen three to talk to you about in the time that I have left. Three that I consider to be, without a doubt, the three most important pillars upon which this society was originally established. And you know what? I've talked to you about these things at times in the past, but we all forget, you know? And so, as Peter said, what I want to do today is I want to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, and I want to cover these one more time. Here they are. Number one, Value number one that we as the church need to call America back to is the dignity of human life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image.' So God created man in his own image." Genesis 2, 7. "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." You see, friends, our nation did not begin with the understanding that human life is a Darwinian accident of nature. Our nation, to the contrary, began with the belief that human life is a direct creation from God, and as such, therefore, every single human life has innate worth, innate dignity, and innate value. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator, not endowed by nature, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, which include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, there are many ways in which we in America can live out this wonderful pillar of our society, many ways in which we can actually put this value into play in our society. We can do it with how we care for the poor here in this country. We can do it by opposing all forms of racism in this country. We can do it by the treatment that we give and the care that we give to people with disabilities in this nation. But without a doubt, I believe the greatest threat to this pillar of American society today is the curse of abortion. And friends, in fighting against abortion, we as the church are not just trying to end an evil procedure, an evil practice. It is an evil practice, but more than that, in opposing abortion, we are fighting for something. We are fighting for a fundamental principle of American society. And I believe that there are a lot of areas where the Bible allows Christians to sincerely disagree with one another, but abortion is not one of them. The issue with abortion, my friend, is not a woman's right to privacy. It is not a woman's right to her own body. It is not a woman's civil rights. The issue here is the murder of innocent babies. And I believe that we as the church need to keep fighting until abortion is illegal in every state in America unless the life of the mother is in jeopardy. And you know what? If Planned Parenthood doesn't like it, and if the National Organization of Women doesn't like it, my suggestion to them is to move to Sweden and have all the abortions they want, but not in America. Not in America. Value number two that America was founded on is the principle of the traditional family. Now let's define the traditional family. I never thought we'd have to define the traditional family in America, but let's do it. The traditional family is one male husband married to one female wife, observing sexual fidelity to one another in their marriage, raising their children to love God and to serve mankind, and refusing to get divorced just because things get a little tough. This is the traditional family. And these kind of traditional families have been the key to America's strength and America's stability from the very beginning. You say, "But Lon, you know what? I mean, God bless you up there, but I got to tell you, society's different than it used to be. Things have changed." Well, friends, listen. Society might have changed, but the family was not society's idea. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh." Man did not create marriage. Man did not create sex. Man did not create procreation or parenthood or the traditional family unit. God created all of these things. And friends, it doesn't really matter where society goes. God has not moved from day one about what a traditional family is and how it's supposed to operate. Nor has God moved from the premise that traditional families are what form the nucleus of any stable society on the face of the earth. And therefore, as the church, our job is to keep calling America back to her original commitment to the traditional family. Our job is to fight for family values in Congress and in state and local legislatures. Our job is to strengthen the families in this church and to help them become resilient and strong so that they raise children who know how to go out and build traditional families of their own that are strong and who teach their children how to do the same thing. Our job is to keep telling America that God may forgive divorce and God may even in some cases allow divorce, but God never rejoices in divorce because it hurts and damages every person involved, and it also undermines the very fabric of American society. And if you've been involved in a divorce, listen, God loves you, and God will take the years the locusts have eaten, and He'll put your life back together again. But we need, on a policy level, to say easy divorce in America is not the way to build a stable society. And finally, we need to keep telling America that God loves homosexuals, but that homosexuality is sin, and that gay marriage is an abomination in the sight of Almighty God, an abomination that undermines the very stability and the health of any society, but particularly of this society. And every time we open our mouth about any of these issues, what ought to come out of our mouth is a consistent position, my friends, that this is what God teaches, and this is where the church stands, and this is what the church is calling America back to. Ronald Reagan said, and I quote, "The traditional family has always been the cornerstone of American society. Today more than ever, it is essential to remember that the strength of our families is vital to the strength of our nation." He's right. Number three, and finally, the third pillar that America was established on that we need to call America back to is the pillar, the principle of a God-centered education. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, God says to the Israelites, "You shall teach these commands, my commands, to your children." You know, over and over in the Old Testament, what did God say? Teach these things to your children. In the New Testament, teach these things to your children. You see, in the mind of God, education without God is a non sequitur. It makes no sense. It doesn't exist. Education needs to have God at its center to be effective education. That is the position of the Bible. Well, you know what? At the very beginning, this is how America started, with an understanding and a commitment to education about God going hand in hand with education about everything else. You may not know this, that every university that was established in the United States before 1776, with the exception of the University of Pennsylvania, every other university began with an unapologetic Christian purpose and foundation. Did you know that? Well, all of that's changed today, hadn't it? Prayer's out of our schools, the Bible's out of our schools, God is the Creator is out of our schools. Even Christmas and Easter is out of our schools. We have winter holiday and spring break. Friends, in the public schools here in America, you can teach evolution, you can teach Islam, you can teach yoga, you can teach transcendental meditation, you can teach witchcraft, and you can teach students how to put on a condom, but God help the teacher who mentions the Bible or Jesus Christ. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas said, and I quote, "My mother says that when they took God out of the schools went to hell," end of quote. And she's right. I said, "Well, Lon, you know what? Honestly, I'm just going to homeschool my kids. I'm going to send my kids to Christian school." Listen, friend, please don't think that we can get out of our obligation to America that simply. As Christians, don't we understand that even if we take our children out of the public school system, don't we understand where the public education system of this country goes is where this country goes? And we can't simply stick our head in the sand and pretend like it's not going to affect us, the consequences of what's going on in our public schools. It's already affecting us, and it's going to get worse. And we need to be activists about trying to do something to turn this trend around. Now, I'm out of time, so let me say in conclusion, I think America's the greatest nation in the world. God's given me the privilege to travel to some wonderful places, but I'll tell you what, when I get back to America, I'm tempted to get down on my knees in JFK Airport, New York, and kiss the marble. This is the greatest nation in the world. I love this nation, and I hope you do. I'm proud to be an American, but there are some things that are threatening the very well-being of the society we say we love, of the country we say we love. And as followers of Jesus, it is our responsibility to rise up and proclaim biblical truth to this country. And where do we proclaim biblical truth? Number one, we must first of all proclaim it when it comes to the dignity of human life, the poor, the disabled, every skin color, and even unborn people all have dignity and worth in the sight of God, and that needs to be what we stand for. Number two, we have to fight for the traditional family. And number three, we have to fight for God-centered education once again in our schools. Now, you say, well, Lon, I hear that, and God bless you up there, brother, but I don't think you're in touch. We've already lost. We've lost. I mean, it's gone too far. We can't win in this country. Well, I don't know whether that's true. And you know what? You don't either. We don't know what the sovereign God of the universe has for this country. Moreover, it's not our job to try to figure it out. God may have a huge revival like the Great Awakening awaiting this country. We don't know. Our job is not that. Our job in this city, as individual followers of Christ and as a church, our job is to proclaim biblical truth to this town. Every time we open our mouth in this town, as individuals, as a church, what ought to come out of our mouth is the same consistent, uncompromising truth about society that we've talked about here today. And we can say it nicely, and we can say it kindly, and we can say it respectfully, but we need to say it without compromise. And you say, well, Lon, you know, you start doing that in this town, I mean, they're liable to come along and yank our IRS deduction thing away or whatever. Well, I don't know whether they will or they won't. It does impress me that the early church survived without an IRS deduction. I'm not volunteering to give ours up. Don't get me wrong here. But I'm saying consequences are God's. Duty is ours. Consequences are God's. Our duty is not to protect ourselves. That is God's job to protect you and me and this church. Our job is to proclaim biblical truth. And to proclaim it boldly. And so that's what I challenge you to do, my friend. Whenever anybody asks you about this, you need to tell them the truth. And whenever anybody asks us as a church, we're going to tell them the truth. And we're going to trust God that maybe there is a great revival for this country out there somewhere. And maybe we can play some small part in helping it happen because of our ministry in this town. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thanks for talking to us today and challenging us about society and about this nation and the needs spiritually of this nation. Lord, give us as a church the courage. Give us as individual followers of Christ the courage to stand without apology for what you teach in the Word of God about society. And Lord Jesus, we do pray that there's a great revival, a great awakening again for this nation somewhere out there because we desperately need it. Lord Jesus, in your mercy, we pray you'd send one and turn this nation back again, as you've done so many times in the past, to a biblical worldview of society. And Lord, may we play some small part in that here in the nation's capital by being a lighthouse for biblical truth. Make us respectful, make us courteous, but make us bold. And Lord Jesus, when it's all said and done, may you say to this church, well done, McLean Bible Church, well done. Good and faithful church. Lord Jesus, that's what we live for. May you help us, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And what did God's people say? Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, So What.